Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
About 6 minutes from now, Kevin Stefanski will have his press conference in Berea. Was scheduled for 3 o'clock today. They moved it up to 1:30. So Kevin coming up at 1:30. We'll hear it right here on 92.3 The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. I think Kevin needs to change his tune today. And I wonder if he will.
How?
Just be a little more frank and honest about... I think I like Kevin. I've made that real clear. And I think he can coach. And I think he comes off as very sincere. I also think he comes off as too well media coached. And instead of saying what's on his mind, he says what he says stuff that it's like, okay, you know, we'll get it fixed. We need to be better. We all need to be better. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, your fan base isn't silly. Your fan base watched. Your fan base knows. We have good football fans here. We have people who know what they're looking at. We know we have people here in this town who can look at a football game and think, well, this doesn't work, and this isn't good, and this was wrong, and this is good. And people know that. And I hope that Kevin changes his approach to this a little bit because, man, you can't sugarcoat what happened yesterday. You had the game, and you screwed it up. Your offense did, your defense did, and your coaching did. Doesn't get much more simple than that.
No. I don't see, you know, it's interesting when you hear him in a press conference compared to a one-on-one interview. I think the guy you want to hear from is the one-on-one interview guy. I think he's pretty good there. But when he gets to these press conferences, I think he feels like there's 15,000 people asking him questions, and he doesn't want to open up a new line of questioning that's going to, you know, set him in a direction he doesn't want to control.
You know what I think has always been interesting with Kevin? And Mike Martz is one of them who's been on our show, you know, many times over the years. And Mike, a great offensive mind. And Mike, you know, with the greatest show on turf.
Yep.
When the Rams were doing their thing with Kurt Warner and Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce and Marshall Faulk. Mike tells us Kevin's a good play caller. And he thinks he comes up with really good stuff. And runs a really good scheme. And Mike Martz likes him. That means a lot to me. And we've had other people with football backgrounds, both on and off the show, tell us, yeah, this guy knows what he's doing. He's a good football coach. That carries a lot of weight with me. Now that said, you got to start producing. And
it's just the 20, you know, it's the
Andy,
getting
it's
to 20
the,
points.
If we
is
get
part
to 18,
problem.
I think we celebrate.
There are things I do like about him. And I think that's the problem I'm having here is that, and I also wonder where is the direction coming from? Is it because you have that HC after your name, that means you're going to take it all. You know, owners can deflect, yeah. General managers can deflect. It's really hard for a head coach to deflect, but they can.
That's really true. I mean, it falls on him. You know, Andrew Berry's not meeting with the media 4 times a week. Jimmy Haslam not meeting with the media 4 or 5 times a week. Paul DePodesta's not meeting with the media 4 or 5 times every decade.
Jeff, the average points per...
You missed that.
I'm sorry, Paul D. Yeah, I was focused on...
I said 4 or 5 times every decade.
Every decade. Good point. Yes.
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
See, there it is.
The average points per game in the NFL is 21 point. It's 21 point something. So it's like 0.8, 0.7. It's just flying. It's weird, though, because points have gone down a little bit. Excuse me. In 2020, it was 24 points per game. In 2021, it was 23 points per game. And the last two seasons, it's been 21.9, 21.8. So down a field goal since. And I wonder if that has anything to do with extra points being farther away. I don't know if that's a point. But right now, early for this season, you're looking at 21.4. And we can't even get to 20. And what is it? It's one more drive, one more field goal, two more field goals a game?
Well, it's something.
I mean, we're just asking the offense to be average. That's what we're asking. We're saying, can you be average?
In games this year, 16 against Cincy, 17 against Baltimore. And Baltimore has been giving up points like absolute crazy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
13 in the win against Green Bay.
Gentlemen, we now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski.
Obviously, still feel the same way as I did after the game. Frustrated, disappointed that we don't close that game out in the fourth quarter, obviously. So got to find a way in those moments to play complimentary ball. And that's on us to get it done. And that's what we'll focus on. And that's what we'll work very hard at doing and making sure that we're all at our best in those moments. But with that, I'll take any questions.
All right. First, we'll go to Scott.
Hey, Kevin. After watching the film, what were your takeaways about Dylan's first start?
Yeah, a lot of positives, Scott. Obviously, can always be better, and certainly we as an offense have to be better and score more to help this football team. But for you know, a young player in that environment versus that defense to take care of the ball, make the plays he made, I thought was a lot of positives with plenty to clean up, and that's what he will do, and that's the mentality he has, is certainly to be a player that you know, continues to get better week in and week out.
And when you look at that last Vikings drive, the winning touchdown drive, what were the issues defensively that you saw? What could you have done differently?
Yeah, obviously, you know, give them credit. But we had a couple mistakes there, and guys played really, really, really well, and then kind of had one lapse there towards the end, and it cost us in that drive, which is disappointing. You know, our defense wants to be on the field in that moment, and I have no doubt that in the future, we put them in that spot, they'll come through.
Thanks.
All right. Next, we will go to Dan.
Hey, Kevin. I wanted to ask about that last drive, too. So I know you got asked about this yesterday with the timeouts. The first one specifically, would you have liked to have had that timeout called earlier? It felt like there were maybe 10 or 15 seconds that went off the clock before you called that.
Yeah, obviously anything in those scenarios, Dan, I want to make sure I'm putting the team in a good spot. If there's things that we can improve, we will. Obviously, the mentality was try to keep some time on the other side of it, but we can definitely be better there.
And then just with Quinshon yesterday, obviously his best game since you've gotten him here. But can you just talk a little bit about how he played yesterday and what, when he plays like that, what does that do for your offense?
Yeah, he's a tough out. He's kind of showing us and everybody the type of player he is. You know, have to remember that he got here late and has continued to get better each and every game. He's a fiery competitor. And, you know, he had, you know, a bunch of plays there, obviously had a, one called back for the holding, and I understand why that was called, but he continues to make hard yards when there's hard yards we made, and then when it's blocked clean, as it was a few times yesterday, you see that he does have the ability to go. So a young player, again, that will only get better each week.
All right, next
over
to Tony.
All right, I actually have seven questions. Hopefully some of them will be asked after my stint here. Two quick ones for Kevin. Do you believe that the left tackle, the Vikings, false started on that touchdown to win the game?
Honestly, it doesn't matter. I understand the question, Tony. I thought it live, but it doesn't matter.
Another question I have is, you know, we've talked over the years of your head coaching job here, how you share input in game in hectic situations through the headphones. Do you believe you have too many voices in your ears in those hectic situations?
I don't, Tony. I don't. I'm very comfortable with the group we have in game.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, next go to Ashley.
Yeah, Kevin, I wanted to ask about your guys' second to last drive, the three and out. Just given the way the Vikings were stacking the box against you guys, watching that back, I guess, what did you think of how you guys handled that?
Yeah, you know, obviously, Ashley, you get into 4-minute drives, and the goal there is to stay on the field, get first downs, make the clock roll, and finish the game with the ball. Obviously, going three and out doesn't get it done. And when you look at that as a coach, you always immediately and also now think about different things that you can do. There's a ton of philosophies there in what you're trying to do, who you're trying to play through. If you want to have risk involved and you know, potentially use the quarterback there. So there's all sorts of things that we can do in that situation. And anytime you come up short, you always think about putting your players in position to succeed. So frustrating to not gain yards on that first and second down calls, and then frustrated, obviously, to come away with an incompletion on third down. But we'll teach off of it. We'll learn from it.
And then I wanted to ask about David, because, I mean, stats-wise, this was his best game. I guess how important was he and the performance he had in terms of what Dylan was able to do?
Yeah, obviously we ask a lot of Dave in the run game and certainly in the pass game as well. I thought he had some good moments out there in the run game, straining versus a very, very good Vikings defense. And then, you know, come up big in the red zone there in the middle of the field, I thought was, you know, a nice outing by Dave.
All right, next
round of jobs. Hey, Kevin, I have two questions. One, on those timeouts, did you think of considered not using them since the Vikings were down to one timeout and just forcing them to end up kicking a field goal as time was ticking off?
Yeah, obviously, Jeff, you think about all those things in those moments. You know, obviously it didn't work out for us how we wanted it to work out, both in the result of the game and, you know, that drive itself. So you're always thinking about different ways you can do it. But we trust our guys to come through it. But we didn't come through as a football team. That's players, coaches, that's offense, defense, and special teams.
And then secondly, did Dylan Gabriel show you enough that maybe he can start throwing downfield more to Jerry Jeudy and the other wide receivers?
Yeah, it's always a product of the game you're in, Jeff, I would tell you. We have a lot of faith in Dylan and our pass receivers, whether that's from the wide receivers, tight ends, running backs, you name it. We have a lot of confidence in our guys. So it's just very dependent on the team you're facing and what they're doing in the back end.
Thank you.
All right, next we've got Fred.
Yeah, Kevin, a little bit on the wide receivers. I mean, going in, I think the very end of the game, you got a catch or two, but only five catches for the wide receivers. I mean, how can you get them going? You know, it seemed to be a big difference. You got 10 catches out of your tight ends, but on, you know, the difference in the game, you see the Vikings wide receivers making plays all over the place. And, and you're limited to three or four catches.
Yeah, I think it's so game specific, Fred, but we obviously believe in our guys, and we have to find a way to be more explosive and obviously stay on the football field so you can score those points. And our wide receiver room will factor into that. So it's every game is different, but we have total trust in those guys.
All right, next we'll go back to Scott.
Hey, Kevin, on the last play of the game, besides Jamari breaking that tackle, like what needs to happen there for you to get a shot at the end zone?
Well, yeah, like you said, trying to get the ball out of bounds, figuring you like your chances throwing the ball in the end zone from the 25 better than you do from the 50. Good play by them. Felt like we had a decent chance of executing there, but you got to say good play by them.
I mean, looking back, does it feel too risky that you don't get a ball thrown into the end zone there?
Yeah. You know, again, it's a risk reward in all these type of discussions and decisions that you're making, Scott, whether, you take that Hail Mary from the 50 or from the 25, you're taking a risk in what you do.
And is the plan to get Cam ready to start at left tackle next week?
Yeah, we'll work through all those type of things the next couple of days.
Thanks.
All right, next we're going to Dan.
Yeah, Kevin, a question about Dylan and kind of his workload. How much did the circumstances of last week, only having two real practices and having to travel to London, how much did that dictate kind of what you could ask him to do? And will a full week of practice, will that mean that you can maybe put a little more on his plate this week?
I would say it's very game specific, Dan, in terms of the opponent and who you're facing and what they do and how they do it. Obviously, the week last week was unique. I thought that Dylan and the guys handled that fine. I don't think that had anything to do with the plan and those type of things. They were very prepared, but I think it's very specific to your opponent is probably the biggest thing.
Thank you.
All right, I'll go back to Tony.
Okay, I only got two left, so go through them real quick. In preseason, Gabriel was very good at converting third downs. Yesterday, you were 3 of 15. What do you attribute that to?
Yeah, I think each one you can probably talk through, Tony, and it's a combination of things. But I thought by and large, he was getting through progressions. There's things that I know he can do better that he knew when he was walking off the field. So it's he's got very good self-awareness in those type of things. But that was a very good pass defense that we were facing, both from a coverage and a pass rush standpoint. So I thought he did a good job of taking care of the football, moving in the pocket when he needed to. But bottom line is you have to try to find a way to stay on the field. And a lot of times it's your ability to be efficient on first and second down and put you in some manageable third downs that will allow that.
All right. And this last one falls into the category of who cares at this point. But was anyone on the sideline aware that the 51-yard field goal caromed off the cable?
I was not aware. I'm not sure if anybody else was. I was not aware.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We'll go back to Ashley.
I know you talked about the receivers as a whole, but just with Jerry specifically and these handful of drops he's had, including the one yesterday, like, is there anything that you're seeing with him, like technical there or anything? Is it just a weird stretch for him right now? Just with that part specifically.
Yeah, nothing technical, Ashley. Jerry continues to be our best wide receiver. We have to find ways to get him involved in the game. Having said that, he's a leader on this team. He will do anything in his power to help this football team. And I'm excited about the future for Jerry and this offense. But obviously, I know he wants to do more, and we want him to do more.
All right, we'll go to Spencer.
Well, I actually took one of my questions, but I was also just going to ask, I know post-game you sort of talked about it with having Jerome in for that finals drive before the half for pretty much all those plays. Is that more so about just like experience where he's been in those situations more? Obviously, Quinshon's only played the four games at this point and maybe trusting in pass protection a little bit as well.
Yeah, you know, when you get into two-minute drives and you're playing at the line of scrimmage, obviously we have a veteran in Jerome that we trust in the pass protection game and the run game, pass running routes, et cetera. Quinshon will continue to grow in those areas. And then you're also trying to be mindful of Q's workload and making sure that he's fresh, for all 60 minutes.
Thank you.
Last one from Scott.
Any injuries coming out of the game, Kevin? And how do you think Jack held up in his first game back?
Yeah, some guys banged up, but feeling good about, where they are to start the week out. And then I thought Jack held up real well, performed well in his first game back.
Thanks.
All right, that wraps us up. Thanks, Coach. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference, one thing in particular stands out to me. We'll touch on that when we come back right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.